Day 453, Thursday, June 27th. Hosea 6 and 7. Hosea 6, 1-11 NKJV. Come, and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do to you? O Judah, what shall I do to you? For your faithfulness is like a morning cloud, and like the early dew it goes away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and your judgments are like light that goes forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But like men they transgressed the covenant, there they dealt treacherously with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers and defiled with blood. As bands of robbers lie in wait for a man, so the company of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the harlotry of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed for you, when I return the captives of my people. Hosea 7, 1:16 NKJV. When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they have committed fraud. A thief comes in, a band of robbers take spoil outside. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them, they are before my face. They make a king glad with their wickedness, and princes with their lies. They are all adulterers. Like an oven heated by a baker, he ceases stirring the fire after kneading the dough, until it is leavened. In the day of our king princes have made him sick, inflamed with wine. He stretched out his hand with scoffers. They prepare their heart like an oven, while they lie in wait. Their baker sleeps all night. In the morning it burns like a flaming fire. They are all hot, like an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings have fallen. None among them calls upon me. Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and there on him, yet he does not know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, but they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove, without sense. They call to Egypt, they go to Assyria. Wherever they go, I will spread my net on them. I will bring them down like birds of the air. I will chastise them according to what their congregation has heard. Woe to them, for they have fled from me. Destruction to them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They did not cry out to me with their heart when they wailed upon their beds. They assemble together for grain and new wine. They rebel against me. Though I disciplined and strengthened their arms, yet they devise evil against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a treacherous bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the cursings of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. Daily Deep Dive. The UCG reading plan states, at the end of chapter 5 we saw Israel and Judah being punished together, at the same time, for their failure to follow God's ways and God telling them that he would leave them until they repented. Chapter 6 opens with Hosea presenting what Israel will finally say. The Expositor's Bible Commentary concurs with the view that verses 1-3 are connected to the previous chapter. For 3 verses, Hosea gives the words of Israel in their day of repentance. The section carries a close relationship in thought with 5:15. Which notes that this time of repentance will come only with the beginning of Christ's millennial reign. Israel as a nation has never yet prayed like this. After the inserted words of repentance, Hosea returned to his main theme of warning the people against their sin. Note on verses 1-3. Verse 1 uses the analogy of sickness and God's healing power, healing the sickness and wound of Hosea 5:13. The Bible has much to say about physical sickness and God being our healer, e.g., James 5:14-15. Psalm 103:3. However, Scripture also uses sickness as a metaphor for spiritual problems, which seems to be the primary usage here in Hosea. The Dictionary of Bible Imagery states, the book of Isaiah begins with an oracle that uses the imagery of wounds and bruises and open sores, is 1:6, to describe the effect of God's judgment on the nation of Israel. Other prophets use similar language. Jeremiah often uses pictures of disease and healing to describe the destruction and subsequent restoration of Jerusalem, e.g., Jeremiah 10:19, Jeremiah 14:19, Jeremiah 15:18, Jeremiah 30 hours, and 12 minutes 17, Jeremiah 33:1-9, See also Micah 1, 9. False prophets who proclaim an optimistic future are said to dress the wounds of my people as though it were not serious. Jeremiah 6:14 NIV. See also Lamentations 2:13-14. The prophet Nahum uses similar terms to describe the fate of the Assyrian capital, Nineveh. Nahum 3:18-19. Along the same lines, the prophet Hosea uses pictures of sickness and sores to illustrate the effects of invading forces on the territories of Ephraim and Judah. Hosea 5:8-15. Disease and Healing, 1998, pages 208-210. In writing to Timothy and Titus about their tasks as ministers, Paul employs the analogy of health for the spiritual condition of the church and for good doctrine, using the word sound, which has the meaning of good health or wholesome. Titus 1, 9, Titus 1, 13, Titus 2, 2, Titus 2, 8, 1 Timothy 1, 10, 1 Timothy 6, 3, 2 Timothy 1, 13, 2 Timothy 4, 3. Some have speculated that the references to after 2 days and the third day refer to the resurrection of Christ. This is based on the false assumption that Christ was in the grave for only 1 day and 2 nights, Friday evening to Sunday morning, not 3 days and 3 nights as he prophesied. Matthew 12:40, compare Jonah 1:17. Jonah 1:17, to which Christ referred, states specifically that Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. We have no reason to think these days and nights were fractional, nor is there any basis for thinking that Jesus meant only 2 nights and 1 day, plus parts of 2 days, when he foretold the length of time he would be in the grave. Such rationalization undermines the integrity of Jesus' words. Holidays or holy days, does it matter which days we keep? Page 14. What, then, is meant by the prophetic statement, after 2 days he will revive us, on the third day he will raise us up? We should view it in context. As we've already seen, being raised up in Hosea 6:2 is parallel with the humbled and repentant Israel emerging in verse 1, around the time of Christ's return, from the terrible punishment described at the end of chapter 5. So the period of punishment to which Hosea refers is not of his own day. Rather, God enables him to look down through the ages to the end time. The book of Revelation mentions a coming period of 3.5 years of horror unparalleled in human history. The first part of this period is a time of punishment on Israel called Jacob's Trouble, Jeremiah 30:7, or the Great Tribulation, Matthew 24 verses 21-22. It is followed by the Day of the Lord, of which Isaiah 34:8 states, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion," introduced by dramatic heavenly signs. Revelation 6:12-17, the day of the Lord would thus seem to be the final year leading up to Christ's return. Observe also that it is a time for punishing Israel's enemies, thereby raising up Israel. Therefore, since the day of the Lord is the last year of 3.5 years, Israel must be punished in the tribulation for the first 2.5. Interestingly, there are other passages where days are used to represent years in prophecies dealing with Israel. Numbers 14:34, Ezekiel 4:6. Hosea 6:2 is no different when it states that after 2 days, i.e., after 2 years, and on the third day, i.e., during the third year, indeed, halfway through it as we've seen, God will raise Israel out of the tribulation, reserving the final year before Christ's return to rain destruction on Israel's foes. Israel will finally recognize its need to pursue the knowledge of the Lord, verse 3, the lack of which has brought them destruction, as earlier stated, Hosea 4:6. We are then told that the coming of God is as certain as the sun's rising, Hosea 6:3. In the same verse, we are told, he will come to us like the rain, like the latter and former rain to the earth. The Nelson Study Bible states, the latter rains of Israel came in the spring and caused the plants to grow. The former rains came in the autumn and softened the ground for plowing and sowing. Note on Hosea 6:3. This ties in with the seasons for God's annual festivals. See Leviticus 23. When God came the first time in the person of Jesus Christ, he fulfilled the spring festivals, like the latter rain. When he comes the second time, he will fulfill the fall festivals, like the former rain. And since Christ fulfilled the spring festivals on the very days the festivals occurred, it seems logical that he will fulfill the fall festivals on their calendar dates as well, though we can't know this for sure. For more details, see God's holy day plan, the promise of hope for all mankind. In the meantime, God reflects on the fact that any repentance of Israel and Judah before their ultimate repentance of the end time would be short-lived, as fleeting as fog or morning dew. Hosea 6:4. God doesn't just want Israel's sacrifices and religious rituals. Isaiah 1:11-17, Isaiah 43:22-24, Jeremiah 7:21-23, Amos 5:2125, Micah 6:6-8. While he had commanded that they be kept, they were only valid if offered in a right spirit. Psalm 51:17, Psalm 107:22, Romans 12:1, 1 Peter 2:5. God wants mercy. The Hebrew word translated mercy in verse 6, hesed, is the same word used for faithfulness or love in verse 4. Israel was not merciful or faithful in love, and Hosea goes on in verse 7 to describe their crimes. Even Ramoth Gilead and Shechem, which were cities of refuge where manslayers could find asylum, had been contaminated by bloodshed. Nelson Study Bible, note on verse 10, a cake unturned. In chapter 7 we see Israel's widespread corruption. Again Hosea warns Israel of its failure to heed the warnings. Samaria, the capital, may be representative or symbolic of the whole nation. Hosea uses fire and oven in several similes here. Verses 4-8. The word in verse 6 translated baker in the New King James Version is translated as passion or the like in other versions. The people in their zeal for this sin were compared to a heated oven, a striking illustration of lust. The oven was so hot that a baker could cease tending the fire during an entire night, while the dough he had mixed was rising, and then, with a fresh tending of the fire in the morning, have sufficient heat for baking at that time. In verses 5-7, the prophet gave an example of the kind of sin that resulted from such inflamed passion, the assassination of the king. Hosea saw it happening on a special day, a festival day, for the king. During the festivities, the ringleaders planning the crime became drunk, and the king with them, keeping the figure of the oven. The prophet stated that the hearts of the plotters were hot with desire to perform their treacherous deed. Each time they were near the king, their hearts flamed up, as they contemplated their deed. They waited during the night, however, with their passion smoldering like the baker's fire, anticipating the morning. Expositors, note on verses 3-7, the background of these verses is the political turmoil of the northern kingdom. During a 20-year period, 752-732 BC, four Israelite kings were assassinated. See 2 Kings 15, Nelson Study Bible, note Hosea 7:4-7. Israel's sins were not only internal, but extended to their relations with other nations. The language of verse 8, mixed himself, indicates that entanglement in foreign alliances, and adoption of their ways, was deliberate on Israel's part. The Israelites associated with and adopted heathen people and customs a cake not turned, i.e., like a pancake that is burned on one side and uncooked on the other and is therefore altogether useless. Harper Study Bible, 1991, note on verse 8, there is certainly a parallel here for Christians. Spiritually, while we are to interact with the world, we are not to become entangled in it or adopt its ways, particularly its ways of worship. Quite the contrary, God says, come out from among them and be separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17. In mixing with the nations, Israel sought help from Egypt and Assyria, flitting back and forth between them like a silly dove. Hosea 7:11. Foolishly forgetting that their real help should have been from God. If they had followed God, they wouldn't have needed to go to other nations. Yet they even plotted against God. Verse 15. Paradoxically, God says, they return, but not to the Most High. Verse 16. This shows some kind of repentance, but not to the true God. He says, they did not cry out to me with their heart when they wailed upon their beds. Verse 14. So just who do they cry out to in a form of repentance? Notice this regarding their assembling together, apparently a religious service, for grain and new wine. God sent a drought that took away Israel's grain and new wine. Yet instead of turning to him in repentance, the idolatrous Israelites demonstrated their devotion to Baal. In fact, many mistakenly equated Baal, meaning Lord, with the true Lord. According to Canaanite religious beliefs, prolonged drought was a signal that the storm god Baal had been temporarily defeated by the god of death and was imprisoned in the underworld. Baal's worshippers would mourn his death in hopes that their tears might facilitate his resurrection and the restoration of crops. Nelson, note on verse 14, perhaps another way to look at this is to think of people assembling in congregational worship services praying, give us our daily bread, yet refusing to obey the true God and practice his ways. This would have served as quite an indictment against the Israelites of Hosea's day. Yet even so, religious people of the modern nations of Israel usually pray to a totally false concept of God as well. with worship customs curiously similar to those ancient Israel adopted from the Canaanites, and will cry to this Lord loudly when trouble becomes hard. Only when they rediscover the true God of the Bible and call upon Him will God ultimately deliver them. Thankfully, God will make sure that they do at last rediscover Him. And,